Welcome to the Fasting Well podcast. This is episode number 25, and today I'm going to be talking about keto, or in other words, the ketogenic diet. And I'm going to try to keep it really simple. It can potentially get kind of complicated or confusing, but I'm going to try to really focus on just the things that you need to know about it to potentially get certain health benefits. So as you've probably noticed, keto's gotten really trendy in recent years. But I think even despite that, a lot of people still have questions, and sometimes it doesn't totally make sense 100%. So I first tried keto back in late 2016, and since then, I did it for several months at the beginning with the break for the holidays, and then I've done it off and on since then. So I'll sprinkle in some of my personal experience as I'm talking about it today. And in addition to giving kind of a basic background about the ketogenic diet, I'm also going to talk about health benefits that you can get from it and kind of how to get started if you're thinking about that, or at least if you're thinking about it by the end of this episode. So I think I'll have kind of a unique angle on this because 95% of the time when you hear about the ketogenic diet, people are only talking about weight loss. And while I am going to mention weight loss or reducing body fat, that's not really the main focus here. It's more about how it works and what other health benefits you can get from it and kind of how to do it as well. So I also wrote a blog post about this, which is more in depth, more detailed. It's kind of a complete beginner's guide to keto. So in case you prefer reading or in case you want to go into more detail, I'll put a link to that as well in the episode description on your podcast app, as well as the show notes on my website. All right, so let's start with a little bit of background about the ketogenic diet. So it's not really a new thing. Some people like to call it a fad, just like they do with intermittent fasting, but neither keto or intermittent fasting are new. They've both been around for a long time. So in the case of keto, it was definitely used as a medical treatment more than 100 years ago for both diabetes and for seizures. So in the case of diabetes, until they came out with injectable insulin, until people could start injecting insulin when their blood sugar was high, then patients with diabetes, basically the only effective treatment was to limit their carbohydrate intake. Because of course, if they ate too many carbs, their blood sugar went too high and there was nothing they could do about it. And then they would start getting all those complications from diabetes like people still do nowadays. But that was really the only treatment for diabetes back then, until like the mid-1900s or so, give or take a little bit. Now, for epilepsy, or in other words, seizures, at least 100 years ago, people were using the ketogenic diet to treat seizures or prevent seizures. Now, in more recent years, there are more medication options for that. But even now, sometimes if somebody has seizures and the medications don't work, then sometimes they'll go on a ketogenic diet to prevent seizures. Now, kind of a funny little side note is the only knowledge I had about the ketogenic diet before I started kind of researching and studying on my own, back when I was in medical school, or in other words, podiatric medical school, which I went to before PA school, I learned about it, but it was literally just a footnote. It was like in one of the biochemistry lectures or something, there was just a footnote that mentioned that this ketogenic diet was used as a treatment for seizures. So I've learned a lot more about it in recent years, but at the time, that was basically all I knew about it. So as I mentioned in the introduction, keto or the ketogenic diet has gotten really trendy in the last maybe 5 years or so. That's when it's gotten especially widespread and kind of everybody's heard about it now. But mainly that's for weight loss, right? Like most of the people that are doing it are just trying to lose weight. But there's definitely more to it than that. So I'm going to address some of the other health benefits and things today as well. So like I said, it's been trendy for maybe like 5 years. So when I started doing the ketogenic diet back in 2016, I guess you could say I was an early adopter. And I had no idea that it was going to get so popular in subsequent years, but kind of funny how that worked out. All right, so why don't we talk a little bit about keto physiology. What does physiology mean? It just means how the body works. So let's talk about how keto works, what happens in the body and stuff like that. So basically, if you don't eat carbohydrates, you know, like the grains and the starches and the sugars and things like that, if you avoid those foods and you eat something else instead, then after a bit, your blood sugar will get lower and your insulin will get lower. because, of course, insulin is that hormone that comes from the pancreas whenever you eat something with carbohydrates. And it helps to kind of usher the blood sugar into certain types of cells like fat cells and muscle cells. So anyway, when you don't eat carbs, your blood sugar and your insulin get lower. And then your body kind of switches. It kind of flips a switch and starts using body fat and other types of fat as the main fuel instead of carbohydrates. So both the body fat that you already have inside yourself, as well as the fat that you're eating, also known as dietary fat, can get broken down into fatty acids, which can then be turned into ketones in your liver. So ketones are just these little molecules that you could draw a little diagram of them, just like you can with glucose, which is the main, you know, blood sugar. And ketones are an alternative fuel for your brain and for other organs in the body. Just about everywhere in the body can use ketones for fuel, but the brain is kind of the one that we talk about the most because the brain kind of needs something else when the sugar gets low, because the brain can't really directly use fatty acids or fat in the same way that some of the other organs in the body can. So another thing that happens if you get into ketosis, and that word ketosis just means having ketones in your bloodstream. So if you get into ketosis and your blood sugar's low and your insulin's low, that kind of unlocks your body fat. Because whenever insulin is high, your body fat is kind of under lock and key. And that's because of a specific enzyme that gets activated when insulin goes down. So when insulin drops, you're more able to tap into your own body fat stores. So that's one of the main reasons why a low carbohydrate diet is helpful for reducing body fat or losing weight. But another thing that happens is when your blood sugar and your insulin start coming down, you can basically improve diabetes, especially type 2 diabetes, and potentially reverse it. So that's why keto used to be the mainstay treatment for diabetes until they started coming up with all these different newfangled medications, including, of course, insulin. So by lowering your blood sugar and your insulin, you can not only potentially reverse diabetes or at least see improvement in it, you can also help with a lot of other health problems that are related to high blood sugar or high insulin. And this is a long list. There are many, many health problems that are related to having high blood sugar or high insulin. We got into some of those details in episode 18 when I interviewed Dr. Ben Bickman, because he's an expert on insulin, and we were talking about various health problems that come from high insulin. A few of those that are related are high blood pressure, often is the result of high insulin. Polycystic ovary syndrome is a really common one as well. Migraines. There's a whole bunch that can be related to having high insulin. So even if you don't have type 2 diabetes, or even pre-diabetes for that matter, which, by the way, probably the majority of the population has one or the other. So you might have at least prediabetes and not know about it if you haven't been tested. But even if you don't have either of those, you may have some other health issue that would benefit from low carb or getting into ketosis, in other words. Now, as I alluded to earlier when I said that ketones are an alternative energy source for your brain, ketones are beneficial for the brain. So doing a ketogenic diet or getting into ketosis can be good for the brain. And so I talked about this, for example, in episode 22, when I explained how getting into ketosis and doing fasting can help with Alzheimer's disease, can not only help prevent it, but in some cases can significantly improve symptoms. So if you want to dive into that topic, just go back to episode 22. But ketones are good for the brain and as it relates to dementia, which is another word for Alzheimer's, because Alzheimer's is the most common type of dementia, but also for mental health in many cases. So there are a lot of people who have struggled with anxiety, depression, or other mental health issues, including schizophrenia, bipolar, etc., who've gone on a low-carbohydrate ketogenic diet and have seen dramatic improvements, sometimes almost complete remission of certain mental health issues. So that's a little explanation about how keto works. Your blood sugar drops, your insulin drops, you tap into body fat and you use dietary fat for energy, you turn some of it into ketones, and then your brain is kind of running on a different fuel. And then that's kind of a little teaser or sort of a rundown of various health benefits that you can potentially get by getting into ketosis. So it's a long list. There are tons and tons of health benefits that can come from getting into ketosis, at least for a while, if not a long, long while. In other words, you don't always have to do it forever, but even just doing like a certain period of time can be really beneficial. Now, you may be thinking, well, are you saying I need to eat a bunch of fat and not eat any, you know, grains or carbohydrates? And what if I eat a bunch of fat? Is that going to give me a heart attack? Or is that going to make me get really fat? And the short answer to that is eating fat doesn't make you fat. And eating fat generally doesn't cause cardiovascular disease. And I explained a lot of details about that in episode 23. So if you have any concerns or issues about that, go back to episode 23, where I broke down various myths about fat and heart disease and weight gain, as well as explaining what are good and healthy sources of fat, as well as not so good or unhealthy sources of fat. Now, the next question you might have is, if you were to start a ketogenic diet, what should you eat, or how do you get started? So if you zoom out and look at it from a bird's eye view, it's actually quite simple. Basically, you would gradually reduce the amount of sugar, grains, and starches that you're eating. So gradually just kind of taper that down until you get pretty low eventually after some weeks or even months. And you would replace those foods, of course, with some foods that are higher in fat and protein, but fairly low in carbs. And I'll talk in just a minute about what specific foods those might be. And then after you've been doing it for a little while, you might start measuring your ketones just to see if you're actually getting into ketosis, because that's how you know if you're really doing a ketogenic diet. Now, it's okay if you want to do low carb, but not measure your ketones. It can still have some health benefits. But if you actually want to make sure you're producing ketones, if you want to make sure that you're kind of flipping that switch, so to speak, then you would need to measure your ketones. And the cheap and easy way to do that is just by buying some urine test strips that you can just use to test your urine and see if there are some ketones present. So that's pretty much what you need to know about doing a ketogenic diet. Obviously, there are more nuances and more details, but some of that you would kind of figure out as you go along. So when I first started, for example, I basically just watched one video and read a few blog posts, and then I started. And one of the blog posts that I read had some specific food ideas, and so I kind of used that to guide my first couple shopping trips and things like that. And of course, I had the medical background, and so some of it made more sense to me and whatnot. But I mean, I think even if you don't, it doesn't take a ton of research to kind of figure out how to get started. But with that being said, let me go ahead and talk just a little bit about what to eat on a ketogenic diet. Now, the next podcast episode is going to be on this exact topic, like what to eat if you're doing a low-carb, high-fat diet, or in other words, a ketogenic diet. So I'm not going to go into a lot of detail here, but I'll do that on the next episode. But in summary, some of the things that you could eat on a ketogenic diet include protein sources such as meat, fish, poultry, eggs, dairy, and nuts and seeds. So those are foods that are relatively high in protein, and then they also have natural fat in them as well. And so you get the protein and the fat together in kind of a natural form. And then you can sometimes add additional fat with things like butter, olive oil, coconut oil, MCT oil. By the way, MCT oil just stands for medium chain triglyceride, and it's usually made from coconut oil. And both coconut oil and MCT oil are kind of more ketogenic. They help your body produce ketones more easily. So beyond those protein sources and those fat sources, also all sorts of vegetables. So you can get tons of nutrition. And when I say all sorts of vegetables, I mean mostly those that grow above ground, and especially the green ones that grow above ground. So it wouldn't include potatoes or sweet potatoes or corn, but most of the other vegetables. So there's a whole bunch of vegetables. So you can still get a lot of like different nutrition from vegetables. And when it comes to fruit, berries are among the best options because berries are relatively low in sugar. Now, technically, avocados are also fruit, and avocados are a great option on a low-carb diet. Now, because keto is so trendy, there's tons and tons of processed keto products out there on the market because it's gotten so popular and everything. But I would generally advise people to stay away from those for the most part, because just like it's better to eat unprocessed food in general, it's also better to eat unprocessed whole food when you're on a low-carb, high-fat diet. Like anything, you can kind of play around with it, you can experiment, but it's probably going to be more beneficial to your health if you mostly stick with whole foods, unprocessed foods, when you're doing a ketogenic diet. So here are a few quick tips about how to be successful with a ketogenic diet. The biggest one is to start slowly. You're going to have some carb withdrawals whenever you start cutting carbs. So there's no reason to go cold turkey or to go from 0 to 60 overnight. It's just not going to be as pleasant. You may have heard of what's called the keto flu. And basically that just means those first, you know, couple weeks or something, if you were to switch to a low carb diet, you'd probably feel a little sluggish and whatnot, maybe a little dizzy, a little this, little that. And that's mostly the result of carb withdrawals. So just start really slowly. You could very gradually reduce the amount of sugar, starch, and grains that you're eating and gradually have more of the other types of foods that are lower in carbs and just kind of make that transition more slowly, and it's going to be a lot more comfortable. And by the way, I have a bonus guide, which is about easy fasting, but it also covers how to start slowly on a low-carb diet. It kind of breaks it down week by week, what you do each week to kind of gradually ease into low carb. So if you want to download that, you can go to fastingwell.com/easy, E-A-S-Y. Again, that's fastingwell.com/easy. And I'll put a link as well in the episode description. The keto flu is also related to my second tip, which is to get more salt. So most people, you know, always consider your individual medical circumstances and get, you know, talk with a qualified medical provider and all that. That should go without saying. But most people will benefit from getting some extra salt, more salt than they usually get when they go on a low-carb diet. And that's basically because once your insulin level drops, you'll be urinating out more salt, more sodium, in other words, since those are synonymous. And if you want to kind of dive more deeply into that topic, I talked a lot about salt and electrolytes in episode number 20. So that's kind of a deep dive that goes into a lot of detail about that. If you want to understand how that works and why you might need more salt and how to get more salt. And obviously you can put more salt on your food, but there's some other considerations, especially once you start doing like a longer fast and whatnot, but that's kind of a separate topic. So episode 20 goes into all of that. So start slowly, get some extra salt. And those are the two ways that you basically prevent the so-called keto flu. And then it also helps sometimes to supplement magnesium and potassium, a couple other electrolytes. And then if you're going to do keto, make sure you commit to at least a month, and ideally more like 6 weeks or 2 months or 3 months, because a lot of the benefits you're not going to see on day one or day two, because your body will take some time to adapt, and so you really need to give it a chance. So try to get your family on board, you know, get the right kind of food in your house. And then once in a while, you might accidentally cheat and eat something that's high in carbs, but don't do it every day or every other day or whatever. If you do it by accident, just get back on track the next day and see how many good days, so to speak, you can string together. And then after a couple weeks, you can start measuring your ketones. And so you can see if you're really doing it, if you're really doing a ketogenic diet. Another common pitfall is if somebody is doing a ketogenic diet because they want to lose weight, then they might also be trying to count calories or limit calories. And I think for almost everyone, under almost every circumstance, it's a bad idea to count calories. It usually does more harm than good. And I talked about that in detail in episode 21 of the podcast. So if you're not sure why or kind of how to think about that, then go back to episode 21. But once you start a ketogenic diet, a lot of the food that you would be eating, because it's high in protein and high in fat, would basically suppress your appetite. And so you probably won't feel like eating as much total food anyway. And so you don't really need to worry about counting calories. Just focus on the type of food you're eating and just let your body adapt for a while before you even think about the amount of food that you're eating. In fact, you want to try to make sure you're eating plenty of food until you're comfortably stuffed at each meal when you're doing something like this, because that's going to also help prevent that so-called keto flu, which can be exacerbated if you're kind of not eating enough food along with not getting enough salt and maybe making too rapid of a transition. So those are my biggest tips for beginners to be successful. Now, I'll talk more about this in the future, but just as like a little teaser, if you do a ketogenic diet, if you get into ketosis, if you get into nutritional ketosis, in other words, you get your ketones up as a result of the food you're eating, then that makes fasting easier. So that's a really good way to kind of smooth the start of a long fast. And not only does keto make fasting easier, but you get some of the same health benefits from keto that you do from fasting and vice versa, obviously. So they both kind of augment the benefits of the other. So for example, if you have type 2 diabetes or prediabetes or any of those health conditions that are kind of related to that whole family, like high blood pressure and all those other things, then if you cut your carbs and then you also do some fasting here and there, then they're both going to be helping to normalize your blood sugar, normalize your insulin, and then kind of help kind of normalize, so to speak, some of those other health problems that come from the high blood sugar and the high insulin. So you can basically make faster progress. Now, that doesn't mean you need to rush or that you need to go crazy and, you know, just go from hundreds of grams of carbs a day to 0 grams of carbs a day from one day to the next, because again, you're gonna feel like crap for a while because your body's not used to it. So, you know, ease into it. But it does make sense to kind of control your carb intake to some extent, along with doing fasting, especially if you're someone who has high blood sugar or high insulin. And the way you would know if you have high insulin is if you also have something like PCOS or high blood pressure or perhaps migraines or any of those other conditions that are often related to that, or belly fat. Belly fat's another kind of bellwether of if you have excessively high insulin. So just to share a little personal experience related to what I was just talking about, keto and fasting. So I've done quite a bit of both. In other words, I've gotten into nutritional ketosis many times by eating low carb, high fat. And I've also done short fasts and long fasts, and including some fasts for multiple days. And I've noticed that a ketogenic diet can boost my ketones into a low or moderate level, but a prolonged fast for over a day or so can boost my ketones into a significantly higher level, basically unmeasurable, like the highest amount that the urine strips or the breath meters can measure. Now, even though there is a big difference between the two, I have noticed that if I do eat the right kind of foods, like to really boost my ketones leading up to a prolonged fast, then it does make the first couple days of that prolonged fast significantly easier, because just my body's already in that fat burning mode, so to speak, and I've already flipped the switch into ketosis, basically. Now, that doesn't mean it's all, you know, unicorns and fairies and whatnot. there's always, with a long fast, there's always like ups and downs with energy levels and so forth, and electrolytes are really important and so forth. But keto is definitely one of those tools that can kind of help smooth out, especially the beginning of a long fast. Okay, let me see if I can do a little bit of a summary. So I talked about the background of the ketogenic diet. It's been around for a long time. It's been used as a treatment for diabetes. It was the main treatment for diabetes until they came out with medications such as insulin and others. It was also one of the main treatments, if not the main treatment, for epilepsy, also known as seizures, until they started coming out with more medications for that. And it's still used as a treatment for seizures. In the last maybe 5 years, keto's gotten really trendy for weight loss, but it has a bunch of other health benefits as well. It's not just a weight loss tool. Keto helps to lower or normalize your blood sugar and insulin, which allows your body to start making ketones out of your body fat and fat that you consume, dietary fat, and the ketones that are made in your liver from little parts of the fat. In other words, fatty acids, which are like kind of the little pieces that your body chops up from the fat. Those are turned into ketones. They become an alternative fuel source for your brain and other organs. And that kind of unlocks your body fat. It makes it easier to reduce body fat. It helps to eventually reverse type 2 diabetes in many cases. Not overnight, but it can certainly be part of the process for fixing type 2 diabetes. And also helps with a lot of other related health problems like high blood pressure, polycystic ovary syndrome, migraines, and others. It can also be very beneficial for mental health. A lot of people that go on a low-carb, high-fat diet without grains or dairy are often able to see a big improvement in their mental health, including things like anxiety, depression, and even other mental health conditions like schizophrenia, bipolar, and others. How do you start a ketogenic diet? Well, basically, you gradually reduce the amount of sugar, grains, and starches that you're consuming and replace those with foods that are low in carbs and high in fat and protein, relatively high in fat and protein. And so that includes quite a few different things, such as these various protein, you would think of as protein sources like meat, fish, poultry, eggs, dairy. Also nuts and seeds, other fat sources like butter, olive oil, coconut oil, MCT oil, avocados, lots and lots of vegetables, potentially, these above ground vegetables, which are often green vegetables. There are many different ones, but all the non-starchy vegetables. And even sometimes fruit, like berries in particular, because they're relatively low in sugar. One of the big keys is to start slowly so that you can let your body gradually adapt and to get some extra salt and magnesium and potassium, but especially salt, to stick with it for a while because it may take a while to really see the benefits. Try not to cheat too often. And after a bit, maybe after a week or two, start trying to measure your ketones to see if you're really getting into ketosis. Not only does keto have a bunch of health benefits on its own, but it also kind of augments the benefits of fasting because keto and fasting have very similar benefits in some ways. And when you do keto, it makes fasting easier. As I mentioned at the very beginning, there's a lot more info in my blog post on this topic. So I'll put a link to that in the episode description on your podcast app, as well as the show notes on my website. So whether or not you want to do a ketogenic diet, and by the way, if you do it, you don't have to do it forever. I mean, try it for 2 months and kind of see how it goes. But whether or not you're going to do it, maybe think a little bit about how you can reduce sugar and starch in your diet, because many of the modern diseases like diabetes and high blood pressure and all that are often related to too much sugar and starch, especially from processed foods. So think a little bit about how you can reduce the amount of sugar and starch that you're taking in, and how you can replace that with something that doesn't have as much sugar and starch, like an avocado, like some green vegetables, like some meat, fish, or poultry, like some nuts and seeds, some of these other foods that don't have a bunch of refined carbohydrates of the type that will spike your blood sugar, spike your insulin, and kind of lead to all these different health issues. So think of one change you can make in that regard, and go ahead and get started today. If you think this information was helpful or valuable to you, please also think of somebody else that could benefit from it and go ahead and send it to that one other person who's one friend that would like to know more about this or that could potentially benefit from knowing more about this. Go ahead and send them a link to this podcast right now, if you would be so kind. I'd really appreciate it because I'm always trying to figure out how we can get the word out to more people, and you can certainly be very helpful in that regard. Another reminder, on the next episode, I'm going to talk more about specific food options if you want to try doing low carb, high fat, or in other words, a ketogenic diet. So I'll talk more about the actual food that you could eat in the next episode. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time on the Fasting Well podcast. The Fasting Well podcast is not medical advice and does not replace the need to consult with your own medical providers.